Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, first of all, I hope you had a great Christmas, and are you all ready then now for the next one, New Year's?
Santa was always too kind to me, Jim, and this year was no exception. And yeah, I'm ready for 2024. I think it's going to be a good year. High hopes going in anyway.
Always are. How'd you do with the little guy? How'd Reg do for Christmas?
He made out like a bandit. Didn't get everything he wanted. We had some pretty high expectations this year. The days of wanting a pickle and summer sausage, as he wanted the 1 year, are long gone. We're into high-end electronics, the newest iPhones. It's like, nope, you're not getting any phone, pal. We're not doing gaming systems just yet. But he was pretty happy with what he got. I think all is well at our household anyway.
All right. Great to hear all is well in the Byers household. Jeff, we've got the bowl game coming up on Saturday. It's Penn State, Ole Miss at noon. It's a game I'm really looking forward to it. And what bothers me, Jeff, and I'm sure you've heard this, I get this from, you know, several of our listeners. It's an exhibition game. It doesn't matter. There's no meaning to it. I don't get that narrative at all.
Yeah, I don't really either, because I do think this is an important game. I think these games are important both as a reward, certainly for the seniors in particular that had good seasons. But I do think these games are important as launching pads into the next season. I think the practices that the kids get are important, but I think these games do matter. I think people do look at bowl records of coaches. I do think they look at the matchups of conferences, and they'll look at the end of the day once the bowl season is over. Hey, this conference had this record, that conference had that record, and it's not an end-all be-all in terms of, okay, this conference is definitively better than another or anything like that, but it's another important tool in the measuring stick process. And so, yeah, I do think it's important for Penn State. I think it's important for Ole Miss. I think it's important for the Big Ten and the SEC. And I do think both of these teams, both of these programs, look at this season as good and also feel like they have the potential to have great seasons in the future. And I think both have very high hopes for what next year can bring. And I think, it's not that you need a win to have a successful season next year, but it really does help, I think, that mental approach to the offseason workouts if you're coming off of a win in terms of the feeling you have about the potential for the upcoming season.
And I'll go a little bit further than you, Jeff. I agree with everything you said about what this is as a launching pad into next season. But I also think this can, for the winner, this is the exclamation point for this season. Whoever wins this game, it will be their biggest win of the season. Agreed?
Agreed. And I do think both these programs and teams are looking for that signature win. And yeah, I do think this provides it. And will it erase the memory for Penn State fans of Ohio State and Michigan? No, but much like Utah last year, Jim, I mean, it is an important win for the program to have under its belt. And I do think I think it's important just in the way these kids and the program feels about itself at the end of this season and going into next year. But I also think from a recruiting standpoint, Jim, it is something, again, that is looked at. I don't think a Peach Bowl victory or loss by itself is going to be the determining factor as to whether or not some high school kid ultimately chooses Penn State or Ole Miss. But I do think, again, it is another factor that is used, and you do have the national spotlight pretty much to yourself in that early time slot on Saturday. And I think it is important for Penn State to showcase this program and all that it has to offer.
And I also think, Jeff, looking at Penn State's schedule, before this season started, all of us said there should be 10 wins under their belt, and then there's two games that matter. And they were 0-2 this season in games that matter. I'm going to stretch here and say this game matters when you're looking at the pecking order. So if you're looking at the Big Ten and saying, oh, it's the Big Two and everybody else, Penn State is the best of the rest of a poor crop, that's, you know, damning with faint praise. I think a victory over one of the best Southeast Conference teams. Yes, Alabama and Georgia, just like Michigan and Ohio State, are the two best teams in the Southeast Conference, and Missouri is vying to be that third in the Southeast Conference. So this is kind of a test that, you know, where does Penn State belong in the whole pecking order? And I think a victory over, what, the third best team in the Southeast Conference, that looks very nice on their resume.
It does, Jim, and I think it's important for I think it's important to these players. I think it's important to this coaching staff to finish it off in that manner and to get that win. But I do think it should be something that is a source of pride for fans. And much like the Rose Bowl win over Utah again last year, Jim, I think that was a big win for James Franklin, this program, to get. And I think this would be as well. And I think especially when you look at trying to set things up for another potential run next year to hopefully with the 12-team playoff format getting into the playoffs, that yes, the other part of this, Jim, is it does matter where you start the season, and a win here helps Penn State start in a little better place than a loss would in terms of where the national rankings will be and what the national perception of Penn State is going into next year.
Also, Jeff, what I like, because of all these things that we've talked about outside of the playoff games, which obviously that's a whole different discussion and the importance and the value of those, you look at the rest of the New Year's Six games, I don't think there's another game that has the same interest or the same importance to the teams. Oregon and Liberty looks like a mismatch. Georgia, Florida State, is Florida State even going to have enough players to field the team?
Yeah.
Missouri, Ohio State, you've got some of that similar issues of a lot of players conceivably sitting out for Ohio State. So of the rest of the New Year's Six games, this appears to be the game where it really matters to both teams.
Yeah, and I think both teams are buying in that way. I do think it'll be interesting to see how Penn State uses some of its players. I don't think we're going to see everybody play all four quarters that are going down there and be used the way they were all season. But I think that's okay too. I think the fact that all of those guys, save for Chop Robinson, are there practicing and ready to go, you know, however the coaches end up using them. And obviously there's a lot of discussions going on within the locker room about how that's going to play out. But I think that's also a benefit for the program, that you have everybody there willing to participate to whatever degree they agree upon going into the game. And I think the fact that they have those discussions, again, it all comes back to recruiting ultimately to me, Jim, because that is the lifeblood of any college program. And I think all of this stuff is nothing but beneficial for kids looking at various schools and where they can go. It's like, hey, Penn State's a place that I can go enjoy the bowl game experience. They're going to take care of me. That's not going to be, you know, a situation where they're putting me out there for all four quarters or they're not discussing things with me. I just think, again, to me, this is all really, really helpful in terms of the big picture for the Penn State program.
Also, Jeff, I have to get a shout out to James Franklin for how he's handled this. Now, I'm not sure how many top draft picks Ole Miss has on the roster. That's part of this equation. When you have a team like Ohio State does, a lot of guys, top draft pick kind of players, you know, they're the potential to sit out. You look at this Penn State roster, big time draft picks are all over the roster. And so far, it's only Chop Robinson who said, look, I'm not going to be there. So I think a lot of credit has to go to James Franklin and the culture that he has created where the players do want to stick around and play. And I'm not sure how he has accomplished it. Is it just really the matter of how he's able to sell them on, hey, look, show up, enjoy the experience, we'll limit your snaps. And he's able to win that discussion.
Yeah, and I think also there's a genuine, I think he's telling them, listen, this is something that at the most you're going to get to do four times, five times in your career. And the bowl experience is unlike anything else in athletics, right? Like it's not anything else that you're going to get in high school or college athletics, and obviously certainly unlike anything in the National Football League. So I think part of it is the appeal for the kids to be with their teammates one final time for those seniors. And to, yeah, as you said, put an exclamation point on a good season and hopefully what these kids are looking back on as successful careers. And, you know, you want to go out with that one more opportunity, whatever it may be, in terms of playing time, but you want that one last opportunity to showcase yourself a little bit, but also to be, again, part of a program, part of a team that obviously was and is important to you. And I think, you know, it's a chance for obviously the families to come along and get that experience as well. And I'm guessing James Franklin uses that as part of the sales pitch is, hey, you know, let your family come down and enjoy the bowl experience too, and get to see you one final time in a Penn State uniform. So I'm with you. I think James Franklin deserves a lot of credit for the, it's part of that overall culture that Penn State has created here. And I do think it is a lot of credit to James Franklin. And when you look around at some of the other programs and the opt-outs that they have and the lack of interest in participating in a bowl game, again, I'm kind of an old school guy, so I find that very disappointing just as a fan. I want this stuff to mean something to the kids, as it obviously does to the fans of these teams.
And you mentioned that it's a unique experience, and I think we all intellectually knew this, but don't think about the fact that every other road trip, you fly out on Friday for the Saturday game, and right after the game, you come back. This, you spend a week away with your buddies. It's a vacation experience. Jeff, that's going to have to be it for quarter one. We will pick up this conversation when we come back for Q2. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're leading up to the Penn State Ole Miss Peach Bowl game Saturday at noon. Jeff, we were talking about in quarter number one how the Penn State program seems to have gotten a lot of buy-in from their players to show up to the bowl game. It seems like only Chop Robinson is the only guy who won't be there. The next question becomes, how much will they play? It's the Saquon Barkley model. Show up, play, but a reduced number of snaps. A lot of guys fit that profile. I mean, it's all three cornerbacks, Curtis Jacobs, Adisa Isaac, Theo Johnson, Caden Wallace, Fashanu, maybe even, you know, Sal Warmley, Hunter Norzad. A lot of guys. How do you think James Franklin exactly will do this?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if it's going to be something where, because I've been thinking about this, and there's obviously a bunch of different ways you could approach it, and it could be you know, hey, Deesa, we're going to play you just the second and the fourth series, or I don't know if it would be staggered like that, or if it's just the idea that, hey, let's get everybody out there, let you have the feel of the Bull experience, and you guys that are going to the NFL draft that want to kind of opt out of the rest of the game, that's fine. I also wonder if, you know, there might be a situation where, and I don't know, obviously these are conversations that they're going, they've already had, and that they'll know going in, everybody will be on the same page. But what I'd like to think, I guess, as a fan is maybe the idea that, yeah, let's go out there and certainly for some of the guys that are going to be higher round draft picks, that let's play a series and then let's get you out of there. But hey, would you be willing, if this game is coming down to the last drive, go back out there, be ready to go for one last drive? Now, there is some risk there to me from an injury standpoint, like staying loose is difficult on the sideline. So I don't know if that's something that would be discussed, something that would be agreed upon, that I don't know if that makes sense to coaches or players. From a fan standpoint, it would make some sense that, this is a tight game. We want our best players out there in the clutch. I don't know.
Well, how about this? And I didn't think about this until you just brought it up and you mentioned Adisa Isaac. I think Fashanu may be the one, very limited, if at all, the number of snaps.
Very.
You know, he's got so much at stake there. How about Adisa Isaac if you say, you know what, we want him out there for, what, 8-10 snaps? How about Adisa Isaac, you go in when it's third and long?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. And they could do that with a few of the players where it is just, it's situational. A guy like Kalen King, too, would maybe fall into that category where, hey, let's just put you in there in some spots where it would make a lot of sense. I don't know. I don't know how – I know that this has all been predetermined. I know the discussions have occurred and players and coaches are all on board with it. I do think it's going to be one of the fascinating things to watch and then, find out in the post-game press conference. Presumably they'll be willing to talk about, this we agreed going in I'd play X amount of plays or X amount of series or these situations. I do think it'll be interesting to – learn that and see how some of these guys are utilized. And again, it may vary a good bit. Yeah, I'm not expecting, I think Olu may be out there for a series, maybe, and then that would be it. I think some of the other guys, pretty much everybody else, you can see, if not playing the whole game, certainly getting some significant reps over the course of the four quarters.
And I think that there's going to be some situational things where you have three cornerbacks all in this situation, Dixon, King, and Hardy. So I like the idea of putting them in selectively, the third and long. Hey, this is a chance for you to shine also. They'll probably throw the ball. This is a chance for you to be a factor. We're not having you in there on third and one, throwing your body into the pile. But in a true passing situation, I wonder also if you rotate those guys so you always have at least one of them in the game.
Yeah, that to me would make some sense, and I would think would be something that the coaching staff would at least try to facilitate with those kids, and I would think they'd be willing. Again, different positions, there's different risk factors in the game, and there's certainly some risk. Obviously, for any player when you're out there on the football field, I don't know that it's that great of a risk. Now, again, the first time you have a kid that does suffer a serious injury, obviously it's going to bring into question everything. I think in the overall scheme of things, the risk is fairly minimal in terms of a serious injury that could derail a career here.
I'm with you. And I think it's also part of, how are the players at a specific position? Now, at linebacker, you have one guy who's, Curtis Jacobs is the factor there at linebacker. One guy, and you have depth at the position, you're okay. The two positions I'm looking at, Jeff, are, as I mentioned, cornerback and offensive line, where if you, especially if you do the model of, okay, we'll get you in the beginning of the game for a series or two, and then that's it. Do you play without your three, not top one, not top two, not top, you know, but top three cornerbacks, and the same thing on the offensive line?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think offensive line is where maybe I'm overthinking this, but I think Caden Wallace could really help his cause in the draft if he goes out and has a really big game. Like, I'm not sure if I'm Caden Wallace, I don't want to be out there just to kind of show the scouts against an SEC defense. And listen, Mississippi's defense is not, you know, one of the vaunted defenses in all of the country either. I think, you know, compared to some of the Big Ten defenses, this is a group that can be had a little bit. So, I don't know how necessarily these guys are looking at it, but to me, a Caden Wallace, I think, would be well served by going out there and playing pretty much the entire game if he can showcase his skills. And, I don't know how much one game necessarily helps your stock, but I've got to believe that a good final impression here could really help kind of solidify a higher spot in the draft for a guy like Caden Wallace. And that offensive line is just such a big that is the one unit, Jim, where, you know, you're kind of relying on that continuity, that having guys in and out, I think, could really impact what the offense is able to do. So I am really curious to see how that group in particular goes about its business here on Saturday.
Same here. And I would think, how about Hunter Norzad and Sal Warmley? I would think the same thing there for them. If they have an NFL future, they could help themselves. If they don't, do you not want your last opportunity to play? Do you not want to be out there?
Yes. I would agree. Both of those guys, to me, almost need to be out there just for both of those reasons. I think, yeah, it's a chance to maybe catch the eye of some scouts and some teams that might want to look at you as somebody that they want to put on their roster. And yeah, I would think you want to go out as a winner and a significant contributor in what is going to be your final collegiate experience.
And two, you mentioned about Caden Wallace putting on tape against a good Southeast Conference team. I think if you're an NFL scout and you're looking at the tapes, you see, okay, Penn State after this game will have 13 games. You're not going to necessarily watch every play of every game. If out of that 13 games, I don't want to see the Delaware tape. I want to see, how did you hold up as an offensive lineman against Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Ole Miss? Those will be the four best teams and four best defenses you'll see all season.
Yeah, and that's why, again, to me, I'm looking at this and thinking that this would be important for them in that regard, and would be important for NFL teams to get a look, as you said, against at least similar type of competition, similar type of athletes, and how they perform. And Caden Wallace in particular, to me, Jim, I mean, he's definitely an NFL prospect. I just think kind of where he goes in the draft is going to be important as a starting place for him, salary wise. And to me, I would think, again, a good performance here, and I think he will have a good performance for however long he's in there, could really help boost his stock status.
I'll give you another name. I'm curious what you think how he will play, and that's not how he will play quality-wise, but I guess how much he will play, number of snaps, and that's Theo Johnson.
Yeah, it's that one is really going to be tricky, I think, too, Jim, because I do think he's a guy that is at least ought to be a very attractive prospect for NFL scouts. You were talking earlier about, you know, the three cornerbacks and the offensive line. The one position that I am not worried about in this team is tight end. I think, honestly, if Tyler Warren, and I think it's very good news, by the way, that Warren is coming back next season, that I think is going to end up being great for him and for the team next year. But that tight end room is so deep, Jim, that is a spot where I think you could tell Theo, hey, we'll put you out there for a series, maybe put you out for a couple, and let's just let these young kids go ahead and showcase their skills. I'm going in not expecting to see a whole lot of Theo Johnson, again, partly because I think they want to give him the best opportunity to be healthy for the combine and everything else, but also partly because that room is so good and so deep right now that I don't think it's a big deal if Theo Johnson sits out. I don't think it'd be a huge deal if he sits out all of the game.
I agree with you. However, I just get this sense Theo Johnson seems to take that leadership role to heart. He's very serious about it. I see that one being the debating point with James Franklin. I see Theo Johnson as being the guy who says, Coach, I want to be out there. I want to play. So you're right. It'll be very interesting to see how many snaps he gets. Jeff, that's it for quarter two. When we come back, quarter three, I want to ask you about the coordinators and what effect they're going to have on this game. Stay tuned for that. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State Ole Miss. And Jeff, it's really interesting for this game is the aspect that Penn State is without both coordinators. Very different circumstances going on. You have a situation with, on the offensive side of the ball, it might be a plus. On the defensive side of the ball, it's scary. Is it going to have much of a negative effect? I'll start with asking the question, which do you think will have more effect on this game? The fact that Yurcich isn't there or the fact that Manny Diaz isn't there?
To be honest with you, I think it's that Diaz isn't there just because, one, they've had some time, obviously, to adjust to the Yurcich situation. I don't think either, by the way, are going to be create overly dramatic situations here for Penn State. I think the fact that you have had several weeks to know the situation. I think everybody's pretty comfortable in their roles at this point. But on the defensive side, I mean, it is a change from what you saw throughout the entire regular season. And so, to me, that has the potential to be more of an impact. I also think there's more questions there, to me, at least in terms of what I'm expecting. Now, maybe we'll see. The offensive line will have all kinds of changes too. I'm expecting most of that offensive line to be intact for most of the game here in the Peach Bowl, with the exception of Fashanu. I think the defensive side, not only with Manny Diaz not being there, but I think there's going to be some more, at least situational use of the personnel that you saw throughout the course of the season. And so I think there's, I'm expecting anyway there to be a few more moving parts there in this bowl game. But I think one of the advantages when you have a situation like Penn State does with the coordinators of the bowl game is just the time. And I have no doubt that these guys and James Franklin have gone over and over how this is going to work on game day. And I think the fact that you have a pretty veteran team here helps in that regard as well. And really some of those guys that may be limited a bit in their playing time, can almost act as additional assistant coaches on the sideline, and I think help just kind of make sure the younger guys are understanding and feeling good about how the flow of the game is going. So I don't personally have any great concerns going into the game in terms of how that'll be managed. Now, after the game, talk to me then. It may be different if we have a bunch of timeouts being called because they can't figure out how to line up and all of that. I'm not saying there's not the potential for some issues. I really get the feeling Penn State has a pretty good grasp on what they want to do. And I don't think it's that big of a deal for these coaches to step into some of the roles that they're going to be asked to step into for this game. These guys have been around football a long time. They get the operational stuff, I think, pretty well at this point.
You know, I asked Andy the same question, Andy Shea, our colleague, and he answered it very much like you did. You know, if there's more effect, it would be that Manny Diaz isn't there. And I've been accused of being a Manny Diaz fanboy. I am, okay? But I think maybe it's my phrasing of the question. I actually think Mike Yurcich not being there is the bigger deal, but in a positive way. We saw some things in those last two games, especially the Michigan State game, and now have 4 weeks of prep time for the bowl game for those two interim offensive coordinators to say, okay, now we've got a chance really to do things that we want to do. It's not going to be a totally completely new offense. I get that. But I think they'll be able to implement the things that they want to do. On the defensive side of the ball, I think with the interim coordinators, it's about keeping things as closely similar to what they've been doing all year, Jeff. And there aren't changes that need to be made.
Yeah, the two things on the defensive side, and maybe it has less to do with the coordinator and just the situation of the bowl game, but you know, I do think this Ole Miss offense is as good, if not better, than anything Penn State faced all season. And yes, that includes Michigan, just on that side of the ball. I think it's at least right there with Michigan. And so I do think there are some real challenges here in facing that Ole Miss offense. And the one thing Manny Diaz, well, not the one thing, one of the many things Manny Diaz was really good at was just having that feel for, all right, this is where I want to dial up bringing in Johnny Dixon on that blitz. This is where I want to go ahead and bring one of those defensive linemen back into coverage. That stuff is kind of instinctive and you get a feel for it. And part of it is you get a feel for it because of the personnel you have. And again, maybe I'm overthinking how Penn State's going to use the personnel, but I'm expecting that we're going to have some different groupings. I don't think Curtis Jacobs is going to be out there for all four quarters, as we talked about with the three members in the secondary, the cornerbacks. I don't think you're going to have your usual rotation anyway there. And I think obviously you're not going to have Chop Robinson, and I think Adisa Isaac may be used more situationally as well. So I think, you know, part of it is maybe I'm just thinking through on offense versus defense where I'm expecting there to be more questions, I guess. And I would have them on the defensive side, even though I'm completely comfortable and confident with what Penn State can do on that side of the ball. I just think that the combination of this Ole Miss offense being really good, some personnel questions anyway, going into the game in terms of how the personnel will be used, and then just that game day feel that I think Manny Diaz had a terrific feel for, all of those, again, to me, lead to more questions anyway about what the defense will look like. And again, if I'm sounding like I'm panicked, I'm not. I think this defense is going to be just fine, and I think it's going to be a really fun and intriguing matchup. But I think the Penn State defense will more than hold its own against an Ole Miss offense that is very good, and obviously with a dual threat quarterback poses you know, a different type of challenge here in the bowl game.
Okay, Jeff, with some of the Chop Robinson is out, We know there's going to be a lot of players who play limited snaps. I agree, Fashanu will play very limited, if at all. And we mentioned some of the other players, the cornerbacks. But now, with the new co-offensive coordinators, with the number of guys playing limited snaps, who are those players now who you think we'll see more of and will step up to the challenge? The guys we're going to say, uh-oh, so-and-so just stepped up. That's the precursor to what we're going to see next season.
Yeah, well, I think the as we talked about earlier, the tight ends are going to be really interesting to see how how they are utilized and what Theo Johnson does or doesn't do in this game. And you know, while most of these situations, I think, are trying to figure out what the players, how to accommodate the players and their, you know, desire to not get injured, I agree with you that I think Theo Johnson is an interesting case, because I think Theo, it's probably going to be more of the coaches looking out for his best interest. And hey, I don't know that we need you out there for every play. I think he probably is a guy that is like, nope, go ahead and put me out there for every play. So I think that's one where the coaches are probably going to look out for his self-interest more than he is in this particular game. But I do think the tight ends we're going to see, regardless of how much Theo Johnson does or doesn't play, we're going to see a real preview of the future there and what next year's tight end situation is going to be like. I think the secondary, certainly you're going to see a lot of the younger faces. And, you know, linebacker, I do think it's going to be interesting to see kind of who they utilize where and situationally there again as well. How do they blitz Ole Miss? Do they have somebody that kind of just mirrors the quarterback? I think there's a lot of interesting things to watch. The other thing on the offensive side, Jim, is I'm hoping Harrison Wallace the third that Trey gets in there and gets to showcase you know, what I think would have been a really good season for him. I'm hoping we get to see him kind of at full strength. Sounds like we will. And, you know, I think we'll see a Trey Wallace similar to the one we saw against West Virginia to start the season. And I think that's going to be big for this this offense and what it is capable of doing with that passing game.
I'm glad you brought up Trey Wallace. That's a guy that I'm really anxious to see. And if he is back and can play and, you know, not limited snaps, but be full on and available, I think, especially now with the new coordinators in there, it will be interesting to see him play. I mean, he was talked about so positively going into the season. We saw a bit, as you mentioned, in West Virginia. I think he could have been a difference maker during this season if he were there, Jeff.
Yeah, I really do too. And, you know, you can, as some in my friend group will tell you, you can't have one player affect your offense that much. I'm with you. You don't want that to be the case, but I do. And I'm not sitting here telling you that this would have been, you know, one of the most prolific offenses in all of college football with him. But I really do think he was a big difference maker. And it was more that he filled his role exceptionally well. And I think it would have allowed some of those other players to acclimate a little better than what I think they were able to, you know, and thinking specifically of Dante Cephas and Malik McClain. I think those guys, the Wallace injury just kind of changed that whole, I think the way they perceived themselves even within the offense. And I just think it did it. I think it derailed what the offense was wanting to accomplish, especially early in the season.
Yes. And in that wide receiver room, you know, there's that pecking order, wide receiver 1, 2, 3, and how it goes. And with Trey Wallace out, you needed more from everybody, and you just plain didn't get that. So I'll be anxious to see how it works out with Trey Wallace in there. All right, Jeff, we've got one more quarter to go. Stick around because I'm going to corner Jeff into making a prediction, too. Stay tuned for that. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are still talking Penn State, Ole Miss, the Peach Bowl, last game of the season, Jeff. Then it's going to be just this long drought. We're going to have to wait and wait and wait till they play again. So and just another reason why we started this show about the people talking about the lack of importance of this game. In my mind, that's the furthest thing from how I feel, because this is the last game, Jeff. We'll have to go through withdrawal without any college football for 8 or 9 months. I'm sorry. I don't want to go that long without college football, Jeff.
I am with you. It is always a brutal time when you realize on a Saturday you go to turn on the TV and there's no college football to be found. So, yes, all the more reason to celebrate the opportunity we have to kick back and watch here on Saturday afternoon.
Well, the good news for you, though, Jeff, is you still have your Pittsburgh Steelers to watch.
Oh, yeah. And, Jim, I think the Super Bowl run is about to begin. You saw the signs of it. Mason Rudolph, probably Super Bowl MVP when it's all said and done. Very exciting times for those of us that are Steelers fans. Can hardly wait to see them whip up on the Seahawks, and then obviously they're going to go down to Baltimore and whip the Ravens to begin the playoff run.
The Mason Rudolph era. All right, Jeff, let's get back to planet Earth here in reality and talk more about this Penn State Ole Miss game. Also, hearkening back to the start of the show, you talked very much about this being the first game of next season. It's that jumping off point. And it is, and you often see players step up in the bowl game. It's a little bit like the blue-white game. When a player excels there, we all extrapolate to next season that, oh, there we go. This is a guy who's ready to step up. But I do think there's some reality to it. And I want to ask you about players that you think will show in that way that come next week, we're going to be saying, gee, he really put it out there. That's a guy that is ready to take on that new role, the expanded role next season. Before you get the chance, I'm going to throw in a couple of names that I like for that kind of prospect. And there's no surprise to these names. Cam Miller's going to get a chance to play and play a lot.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised to see him make a play. And maybe this is wishful thinking. I want to see Tony Rojas get out there and play more snaps, Jeff. I could see that. I think we all know how good Denai Dennis Sutton is, but this is a chance without the shadow of Chop Robinson there. He'll get more snaps. He'll be out there. And I think also there's that it's his turn. It's time for him to take that responsibility without Chop Robinson and perhaps Adisa Isaac playing limited snaps. I think we're going to see Denai Dennis Sutton. So there's three names that I have. You could expand on that, Jeff, or look elsewhere.
No, I think those three, first of all, I'm right there with you. I think they are guys that obviously are going to be crucial for Penn State next season. And I think all will get an opportunity certainly to showcase their talents here in the Peach Bowl. I do think, when you look at offense in particular, I do want to see if there are some changes in that offensive line, how some of these guys do step up and handle the role. Ole Miss is an interesting team. It's not that the defense is bad, but I mean, I don't think I think probably the third and fourth best defenses that the Penn State face in the Big Ten are still better than what Ole Miss has on that side of the ball going into this game. So, you know, I'm hoping we see some receivers step up. I mean, I mentioned, I think if Trey Wallace is truly healthy and ready to go, I think he's going to be a fun one to watch here for Penn State. Not that you don't already know what he can do. I'm with you on Rojas. I think a couple of the younger players in the secondary, aside from Miller, are also going to have a chance to step up and showcase what they can do. And I think that's going to be important going into next year as well. And listen, the other thing that I am really curious, and again, it's not that you don't know what you have there, but I am going back to kind of the talk about the coordinators too. I am really intrigued to see how Bo Pribula is used in this bowl game. And, you know, if we see some different components to that offense than maybe what we saw during the course of the season. I was listening to a discussion over the Christmas weekend on the Ravens and kind of why their running game works so well, and it doesn't seem to matter who they have in at running back. And I'm trying to think, I think it was on Colin Cowherd's show, but the talk was centered on, listen, Lamar Jackson keeps that pressure on the defenses and helps open things up for that running game. Again, I'm not advocating for Bo Pribula to be the guy at quarterback, but I am advocating for what we saw down the stretch, which is, hey, in some key spots, this is a guy that can give you a little different wrinkle with that offense and something else for defenses to keep in mind. So again, not a new guy, but I'm really interested to see how Pribula is used and maybe some different dynamics that Penn State tries to utilize with the offense to, again, just give defenses something to think about, put some different pressure points on the opposing defenses that you're facing.
Well, how about this, Jeff? Remember Kotal Nicki coming in, he was using two quarterbacks out at Kansas. I know he's there. I know he's not going to be the guy calling the game. I know that. But he's there. He's in coaching meetings. Might he just whisper in somebody's ear, hey, guys, here's something that we did in Kansas or we were planning on doing with having these two quarterbacks. Might you want to try this?
You would certainly hope and think that's the case. And I think these guys also have a pretty good feel, right, for what this offense can do. And I think you saw in the Michigan State game in particular that they were able to open some things up for the running backs. I have high expectations, I guess, going into this game for what Penn State is going to be able to do offensively in general, but in particular with the running game. I do think Penn State is going to be able to control the line of scrimmage and to really do some good things with Allen and Singleton. And, you know, I think even Aller and Pribula when he's in there, if he's in there, I guess. But I think Penn State is going to be setting the table for what I think is going to be a much more effective offense here in 2024.
And, you know, a show that we do together, we couldn't get through it without mentioning Bo Pribula. So I'm glad we got the Bo Pribula segment out there, Jeff.
It's in my contract. Oh, one other player, going back to what you were Kevion Keyes is another guy, Jim, that you're hearing from the media that's down there covering the bowl. He is apparently having a very good bowl camp. And that would be a guy just to keep an eye on. Again, that linebacking core as a whole, I just think is going to be a really interesting group to watch both in the bowl game and then to kind of see who settles into the various roles going into next season.
I'm curious if we're going to see any of the a couple of the other names at wide receiver. Is it time for like Caden Saunders to say, look, I need to be part of the plan for next season? Liam Clifford, you know, who seems like he does good things when he gets out there, but he's not out there very often. So, you know, I wonder, like, it's a position ripe for someone to step up. And we're not there at practice every day. But we didn't even mention Omari Evans, who, you know, had the big play against Michigan State. And I think going into the season, we expected more from him. You wonder if that change in coordinator is just a good thing for some of those guys who haven't gotten their opportunity. And you also have 4 weeks of practice to show something. I think in the middle of the season, there's not enough time between games for somebody to step up in practice and show something. And if there's ever a position where there's an opportunity, that would be at the wide receiver. Okay, Jeff, I've left you a couple minutes. Let's hear, how's this game going to play out? What's your prediction? And if you got it in you, how about a bold prediction?
Yeah, well, I think Penn State, I like the matchup here against Ole Miss. I think, you know, Ole Miss's strength is obviously its offense, dynamic quarterback, but I think Penn State is well-positioned to handle that. I do think this is going to be an entertaining game. The two things that I'm really hoping to see and that I think we'll see is Penn State really establish that running game. I do think Allen and Singleton have a chance to have big, big bowl games here for the Nittany Lions. I also think Drew Aller has a chance to maybe showcase what you were talking about there. I keep going back to that West Virginia game. It's just after that game, I was so convinced that this offense was so diverse, had all of the receivers you just mentioned. It's like, man, it just seems like Aller knows how to distribute it. I'm expecting that we're going to see an offense that reminds you of what we saw in that first game of the year and why I think so many of us were high on what Penn State could accomplish on that side of the ball. I think Penn State ends up winning this game fairly comfortably. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think Penn State wins it. I have it 34-20, the Nittany Lions at the end of the day. And for my bold prediction, I'll say Penn State connects on a field goal of 50 yards or more at some point in this game. How's that?
That is bold, Jeff. All right, I'm very close to you. I have it Penn State 34-17. And I've said this in other predictions during the season. I think Penn State's just a better team with better players, and that will be the difference. All right, that is it for our show. Everyone, enjoy the game on Saturday. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.